Love God. Lift up.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's our very special guest from the Elevate Life Church administrative and pastoral teams, Jessica Fielding.
Why don't we all stand up because first we just need to stretch. Are you guys awake? You guys alive? Yeah? Yes. Well, we're going to pray, but I want you guys to stay standing afterwards because we're going to do something. God, I thank you for this day, Lord, and I thank you for the word that you have spoken to me, Lord. I pray that I'd be able to deliver it, and I pray that every person here would have an open heart, an open mind, God, and they would receive the word that you have spoken, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Well, before you sit down, I want you to say something. Go ahead and put your hand over your heart and say, God wants to do something great in my life. And then look to the neighbor to the left or the right of you and tell them, God wants to do something great in your life. Amen. You guys can go ahead and take a seat. Well, as I mentioned, my name's Jessica, and I serve on staff here at Elevate Life Church. And soon I will be celebrating, you guys, 20 years saved. Very, very soon. And that's like, no flex at all, but like, that's incredible because it's been a journey walking with God. You know, it's been a journey where I've experienced like incredible highs. It's just life, right? And incredible lows. It's been a journey of faith. And so today I'm coming to you, speaking to you as somebody that's been on that journey and that is still on that journey with you guys. And so as we started this morning, you know, we started by saying God wants to do something great in your life. And I want you guys to believe that. Often with Christianity and just in groups of believers, we put a lot of weight just on salvation. And salvation is incredible. It's the entire reason Jesus came to earth to die for our sins so that he could forgive us, so that we would be saved. And so if that's you in this place where you've never been saved, I still want you to lean in. But I also really want to speak specifically to believers that have been walking with God for a while. It could be a couple of weeks, could be a couple of months, or it could be like me, a couple of years. And on this journey, once you're saved, there's so much life after that. Salvation isn't the ending, it's the beginning of our lives. And so today, if there was a title, which there is a title, I don't know if that can come up here, the title is going to be called, We're Building Here. We are building here. And last Sunday, we heard an incredible sermon by Pastor Sergio, where he preached about building up, that we are a church that loves God and lifts others, and we build not only in our community, but in the nations. And if you've came to Elevate Life Church for more than one Sunday, you would know that that is something we're incredibly passionate about reaching our community, about reaching young people, about going into the neighborhood and throwing events or going out into the nations. It's something that we take incredible pride in building the kingdom. And for today's focus isn't just going to be on building the kingdom, but it's going to be on building your life. Amen. And what are you building on? And so today, as I give the word, I pray that you would take a moment, and as I, you know, speak the word, that you would take those moments to reflect on what are you building. Because before I start, I just want to say this. We are all building something. We're all building our lives daily. You know, one moment we take an action, and then that action becomes a routine, and then that routine becomes a lifestyle. And that just becomes our life. That becomes who we are. And I'm not talking about actions that we take, like everyday actions, like me. I wake up in the morning, first thing I do is make myself some coffee, take my dog on a little walk, get ready to do my devos. That's not the type of actions I'm talking about. Maybe your actions every morning are picking out your clothes or listening to music. I'm not talking about those daily habits. I'm talking about the actions that you take every day that maybe stem from your thought life. The thoughts that you have every day that become an action, that become a routine, that become a lifestyle. And maybe those actions are unforgiveness or pain or trauma or just repeating or replaying past mistakes. And so we're redoing that, and then that becomes our daily life and our actions that we're spending time thinking about those things, and then that becomes our lifestyle. When you study things like depression and anxiety, it's not a one-time thing. You can't be depressed after one time you're sad. It is a cycle, it's a routine, and it becomes a lifestyle. And so when we're thinking about building, every single day, we are building our lives. And so today, I want you to do an inspection on what type of life are you building. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. And it says, "Everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. When the rains fell and the flood came, with fierce winds beating upon his house, it stood firm because of the strong foundation. But everyone who hears my teaching and does not apply it to his life can be compared to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. When it rained and the flood came with wind and waves beating upon his house, it collapsed and was swept away." But by the time Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were awestruck by his teaching because his words carried such great authority, unlike the religious scholars. Again, that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. And this is a story of Jesus, and he's teaching to a crowd of people. And he says, you're building one of two ways. You're either building your life on the sand, or in different versions, it says either the unshakable foundation or the rock. So you're either building yourself on the sand or the rock. And when I think about sand, I don't know about you guys, but I think about like Cancun, I think about Hawaii, I think about vacation. And when you think about the sand, you don't show up to a sandy area like ready for warfare, right? You show up casual. You show up ready to kick it, ready to hang out, ready to relax. And what I really believe Jesus was saying is that that's not how we can approach our lives. So many times that's how we're approaching our lives, in a casual way. We're approaching our Christianity, our faith in God, in a casual manner. If we pray that day, then we pray. If we spend time with God that day, then we spend time with God that day. If we are intentional about sharing what God has done in our life during, in a season of life, then we do it. If not, it's not a big deal. That's sometimes how we build our lives. But if you read the scripture, it doesn't say if the rains fell. It says when the rains fell and the flood came and the fierce winds beating upon his house, it stood firm because of its strong foundation. But anyone who hears my teaching and does not apply it to his life can be compared to the foolish man who built his house on the sand. When it rained, the flood came with wind and waves beating upon his house. It collapsed and was swept away. Again, it doesn't say if the rains came. It said when the rains came. And anybody that's been on earth for more than a day knows that life can be hard. planet Earth can be difficult. We experience challenges, we experience betrayal, we experience pain, and it can be difficult. And so when we approach the Word of God or we approach our lives in a casual manner, when the rains come, when that difficulty comes, we're going to struggle. Because the way that we're building our life is not strong. It's not unshakable. It is shakable. And so when we build our life on modern age thinking, casual thinking, which could be anything from casual sex or casual, you know, okay with getting drunk or casual whatever, when we build our life on that, when the storms come, because they will come, they will come. When they come, we're not going to be able to stand firm. When we build our life on unforgiveness and trauma and pain, when storms come, it will break us. When we approach God in a casual manner and like, maybe I'm going to go to church this Sunday, maybe I'll go in a couple weeks. When the storms come, we will be destroyed. And that's not the reason Jesus came. Jesus said, everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. Again, when you read different versions, it says the rock. When we build our lives on God's word, we will not be shaken. I'm so thankful that God's word isn't like the word of the world. It's not like man's word. It's not like different words I've been given by family members or friends that said one thing one day and then changed their mind the next. I'm thankful it's not like my word who says one thing one day and changes the next. I'm thankful that God's word is solid. It's rock solid and it will never be shaken. And I'm dedicated to building my life on God's word. So when God's word says forgive, that I'm committed to forgiving. When God's word says to live a life that's holy, that I'm taking the steps to live a life that's holy. Because when the rain comes, when life challenges come, I'm going to be building and I'm not going to be shaken. And I pray today that you're taking an inspection and thinking, what am I building my life on? How am I building my life? Again, like I mentioned earlier, our decisions become a routine, and that routine becomes a lifestyle, and that lifestyle becomes our life. And so it's really important that as we're pursuing God, that we're not content with just where our faith is at. There's so much more that God has for us. As I mentioned in the beginning of service, there's so much weight that we put on salvation. And I 100% believe it. I'm so thankful, like I mentioned. It's been almost 20 years that I've been walking with God. But in this journey of 20 years, my life didn't stop once I got saved in juvenile hall. My life just started. And again, I've seen mountaintops and valleys. I've been through difficult times, and I've experienced incredible seasons. It's life. But I'm so thankful that I've been able to do it with God. And so today, I'm speaking to everyone, but if you've been serving God for maybe a couple of months, a couple of years, I really want you to lean in, because I don't want you to become content with where your faith is at. There's more that God has for you. God wants you to build your life. God wants you to build your legacy. God wants you to build your family, and he wants it to start with his word. Amen. So right now, there's going to be three different points that I'm going to be talking about. And the first point that I'm going to talk about is that God wants you to build. God wants you to build. And we're going to be reading Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Before I start reading Nehemiah, I want to give you guys some background about who he is. Nehemiah was a servant of the king. He was the king's cupbearer. Technically, he was a slave. And his entire job was to literally fetch the king whatever he wanted to drink, and then to serve the king a cup. So whatever he was drinking, it was his job to hold the cup. And if you think about the king, not only did he have a chef and maids and all of these servants, but he was such a huge deal that he needed a cupbearer. And so Nehemiah is a slave, and he's really not wanting to be there. He wants to be home, but he's serving the king. And this is where we find him in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, "The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah," anybody want to pronounce that word for me? "In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers came from Judah with some of the other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, 'Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.' When I heard these things, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Again, that's Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So we find Nehemiah. He's a slave. He's a servant. He's serving the king. His entire job is to hold the cup. And some of his relatives come into town because they bring another people that are in exile, and he sees them and he's so glad, and he's like, "How are things at home? How's, you know, grandma? How's grandpa? How's the community? How's the neighborhood?" You know, probably reflecting on all the experiences he's had in his hometown in Jerusalem. And when they get there, they tell him, unfortunately, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. And Nehemiah says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept for some days. I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven." Nehemiah was shocked when he heard this. He heard that his town, his neighborhood, his community was destroyed. And it says that he was so sad that he wept for some days and mourned. You know, there's situations in our life that hit us, that impact us, and we don't just get over in a couple of hours. It takes time to get through them. It takes time to process them. And as I was mentioning earlier, as we're talking about, we're building here, and God wants you to build. Before I start and we dig in a little bit more, I want to start with the premise that we are not all building on an equitable building ground, an equitable area. And what that means is that some of us, we're building and we come, maybe like me, from a broken family. Maybe like me, you're trying to build, but there's some broken things in your life. There's a broken marriage in your life. There's a broken family. There's some broken decisions that you've made. And you find yourself in a situation where you're wanting to build your faith up with God. You're wanting to get close to God. You're wanting to grow in the things of God. But there's still brokenness there. And just like Nehemiah, it says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept." You're trying to get up. You're trying to keep walking about your life. You're trying to keep pursuing the things of God and trying to make it through. You're trying to keep running after the things of God. But no matter how many times you're trying to get up, your pain keeps pulling you down. Your pain keeps you stuck. And so you're trying to build, but you're sad and you're grieving and there's pain there and there's heartache there. Take a moment to sit down and to grieve. God can take it and God can help you. We're going to keep reading Nehemiah, and it says, if we're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and it says, "In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes," hopefully I said that right, "when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, 'Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart.' I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' The king said to me, 'What is it you want?' Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, 'If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the king in Judah, where my ancestors are burned, so that I can rebuild it. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take, and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I was set at a time. Again, that's Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And so we're finding Nehemiah at a point where he finds this devastating news about the walls being broken, about the gates being burned down. And I'm envisioning he's having all of these memories about just pain and memories of growing up and thinking, oh my gosh, my entire home, my neighborhood, my community is destroyed. And he's serving the king and he's trying to go about his life like nothing happened, like I have to push through, I have to get through, I have to finish my job, I have to keep working. But he finds himself in a broken spot where he's so broken it's showing on his face. He's so broken that he's not even able to keep the smile on his face. And sometimes that's us. We're trying to push through the pain. We're trying to keep walking. We're trying to keep serving God. But the pain is just getting to us, and it's kind of just keeping us stuck. And this is what Nehemiah did, is that not only was he sad in the presence, but the king says, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. In biblical times, specifically during this era right here, you were not allowed to show emotion in front of the king. In fact, if you showed any emotion besides joy and happiness, you could be killed. So if you were sad in front of the king, you could be killed, because in this time, the king was to be honored so much, that type of emotion could not be near him. It was impossible. So he was basically risking his life. But that's how much pain he was in. He couldn't go about his daily life, his daily routine. He couldn't press through the day without that pain eating him up. And the king says, what's wrong? Your heart has to be sad. And it says, and his response was, may the king live forever. And I think about that as I was praying and preparing for that. This is how we go about our life sometimes. We're serving God. We're trying to do our best, we are, and make it through the day and make things work, but we find ourselves in a situation where we're not doing well. And people check on us and they say, hey, you know, just want to check in on you, like you've kind of seemed off, are you okay? And our response is, I'm great, I'm doing good, I'm blessed, I'm doing all these things. And they're like, are you sure? You look a little off. And we're not real. We're not real. We give this response that is honestly fake. And we're not honest with saying, I'm struggling. I'm having a really difficult time right now. It's hard even to get through the day. I'm having trouble forgiving. I'm having trouble accepting. I'm having trouble moving on. And the pain is tripping us up and tripping us up. And I'm glad that Nehemiah said, not after he said that, he said, why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors were buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? But check this out. This is the king's response. The king said to me, what is it that you want? And as I was praying and preparing this message, I really hear the king saying that to each of us in this room. What is it that you want? I know you've been through a difficult time. I know you've experienced difficult seasons. I know there's challenges right now. I know you're trying to build and there's pain that's just killing you. But what is it that you want? You know, the really interesting thing about Nehemiah is that even though he was a slave, he was a servant in the kingdom. That means, and he was right next to the king. That means he experienced the best of the best, especially in biblical times. I mean, they had the best food. They had the best clothing. They had the best furniture. They had the best houses. They had the best of everything. And that's kind of like us. We experience the kingdom. We come to church and we worship and we experience peace. And we experience love and we experience all of these incredible good things, but there's still pain pulling us back. Just like Nehemiah, he is serving the king.
He's serving the king, but there's pain that's distracting him from his service. There's pain that's distracting him from building a better life. And maybe today you're in church and you're in the kingdom and you've experienced the kingdom, but there's a part of you that there's still pain. There's a part of you that even though you're trying to get up and you're trying to serve God and you're trying to get up and build a great life for your family and your kids, the pain of regret, the pain of bad decisions, the pain of addictions, those cycles, they keep coming up and they're getting us stuck. But this is what I hear the king saying to you, the King of Kings, God, is what do you want? What is it that you want? And we're just going to take a moment as we close our eyes real quick. This moment's just between you and God. I'm not done. But I want you to envision God saying, what is it that you want? I know you've gone through pain. I know you've experienced heartbreak. I know there's family issues. I know there's a broken relationship, divorce. I know there's sickness. I know there's debt. I know there's all these things that are pulling you back. But what is it that you want? And I want you to envision God saying, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Amen. You guys can open your eyes. You know, what's really cool is that after the king says, what is it that you want? It says this. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take and when will you get back? And then it says, it pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I want to encourage you that it pleases God that you're building your life. It pleases God that you're building your faith life. It pleases God that you're building your family and your future legacy. It pleases God that you're doing the hard things. And it pleases God that it might be the third time that you're getting back up. It might be the fourth time that you're trying to get back up. It pleases God that you are making the right steps in the right direction. And God wants to help you build. It pleases him. And so I don't know what you're dealing with right now, a broken situation, a family situation, a work situation. God wants to help you build. He doesn't just want you to experience the kingdom. He wants, at church or in prayer, he wants you to experience that daily. My second point today is do the work. Do the work. And we're going to get ready to spend some time reading about David's life. And as I get ready to read David's life, you might remember David as, you know, David the shepherd boy, David the king, David that defeated Goliath, David and Bathsheba, David that wrote the Psalms. You know, they always talk about David in Sunday school and VeggieTales, if you've ever seen that show. There's a new movie coming about David. I'm super excited. I love the story of David because it's such a real story of just experiencing life and experiencing high moments with life and low moments in life. But David represents a type of Christ. And I'm going to explain what that means prophetically. In the Bible, David represents what Jesus was going to do when he came on earth. So when David defeated Goliath, and David only had a slingshot and a couple of stones, and all of the Israel army was scared, and David defeated this giant that was creating terror and havoc on the people of the Israelites, when David defeated him, that represented that Jesus was one day going to come on earth. And he was going to defeat the greatest giant, which was Satan himself. And he was going to die for us. And so as we read the story of David, I'm going to make that parallel in a bit, but I want you to think about that. You know, we're going to get ready to read 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And we're at the end of David's life. We're at the end of David's life where after David has experienced those highs of being the king, of defeating Goliath, of winning all of these wars, but we also are meeting David at a spot where he's also experienced lows, where Saul was out to kill him, where his own son wanted to kill him and take the kingdom from him, where he's experienced betrayal. And I really believe that we're experiencing David as we read 1 Chronicles 28, at a point where he's so wise and he knows that it doesn't matter what he's gone through, that God has seen him through. In 1 Chronicles 28, 20 through 21, he's getting ready to give the kingdom over to his son Solomon. He's getting ready to say, Solomon, you are fully king, and this is what you need to do, and this is what we're going to read. It says, David also said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. The divisions of the priests and Levites are ready for all the work on the temple of God, and every willing person skilled in any craft will help you in all the work. The officials and all the people will obey your every command. We're also going to read 1 Chronicles 28, 9 through 10. And David said, and you, Solomon, my son, get to know well your father's God. Serve him with a whole heart and eager mind. For God examines every heart and sees through every motive. If you seek him, you'll make sure you find him. But if you abandon him, he'll leave you for good. Look sharp now. God has chosen you to build his holy house. Be brave, determined, and do it. In another version of the Bible, it says, and do the work. You know, there's so much that God has given us to live this life. He's given us a family. He's given us friends. He's given us this incredible church, Elevate Life Church. He's given us therapy. He's given us education. He's given us these different, you know, therapeutic tools. But it's up to us to do the work. You know, so many of us, we're fighting maybe addictions, or we're trying to get healed, or we're trying just to build a good life for our families. And there's all of these tools around us. But without doing the work, they're just tools. Without submitting to the process and doing the work, it's just tools. You know, I shared in first service, I was not a fan of math in high school or college. Am I the only one in here? I liked English, I liked speaking, but I did not like math. And so I remember in high school taking a math class. And my goal was like, how can I finish this class and just get to the end? And I remember my teacher telling, it's like a geometry class, and my teacher told me, Jessica, you need to show your work. Like, stop being so focused on the end and just show your work. And that's what it's like in life. We're just so focused on trying to get to our healing, trying to get to the next level of life, trying to get the promotion in life or at work, trying to move to the next season. But God is saying, do the work right now. God is saying, you got to work. You got to go to therapy sometimes. You got to be accountable all the time. You got to take seriously your faith. If you want the life that God has gave you, that God died to give you, you have to do the work. If you want a good relationship, if you want a good friendship, if you want a good marriage, if you want a good family, you have to do the work. That might look like, I said, like therapy. That might look like recovery classes. That might look like parenting classes. That might look like meeting with your pastors or meeting with some leaders and being honest about where you're at. You got to do the work. And when a leader or a pastor or a therapist or whoever encourages you and says, this is what I think you should do, you can't be upset when you're not getting the healing, when you're not doing the work. It's like going to the gym and buying the membership and never going. You don't get the results. I wish you did. I would pay. I've learned that. You know, if I could just like pay for my membership at Orange Theory or Planet Fitness or 24, wherever you're going, and that just meant I was fit, that would be great. But it doesn't work like that. In order to get the results, you have to go to the gym. In order to get your healing, in order to get forgiveness, in order to have a strong family or a strong marriage or to get that promotion at work or to get that house or to get debt free, you have to do the work. That might look like putting yourself on a budget. That might look like you working out every day or watching what you're eating. You have to do the work. God is giving you the tools, but will you do the work? You know, recently I was placed on this project. It's been about a year and a half that I've been placed on this, one of the largest projects in a couple of years on behavioral health infrastructure. And what that means, because when I found that, I was like, what does that mean? That's not what I signed up for. I've been working in the last year and a half on real estate development, specifically for rehab centers, mental health institution, and youth centers, because there's not enough of them in California. And so I've had to learn for the last year and a half about real estate, real estate development specifically. I never thought that was something I'd learn about. And did you know that 1 in 4 buildings that are getting built, any type of building in California, will not be at completion because of a couple of items? Maybe they didn't write the right budget. Maybe inflation is impacting them. Maybe there's different county laws or government laws that are impacting the building. And so they won't be able to finish how they intend it to finish or finish at all. 1 in 4 buildings. And it had me thinking about us, because we're building our lives. And about how many people start off by at this altar or maybe at home getting saved and experiencing God, but they never finish their life the way that God intended them to. They never live their life to the fullest in the way that God intended them to. They just get saved and that's where their life stops. Jesus died to give you a better life than that. Jesus died to give you an incredible life, not just that there's that one moment of salvation, but that there's multiple moments that you're experiencing miracles, that you're experiencing healing. And again, I'm speaking specifically to those that have been serving God for a while. God's not done with you yet. God is not done with you yet. He wants more for you. There's more for you, but you have to do the work. In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, it says, "Is there anyone here who, planning to build a new house, doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something and he couldn't finish it." Luke chapter 14, verse 28. And I believe that's kind of some of our lives in here. We start things, but we never finish them. We start therapy, but we never go back. We start the healing process, but we kind of avoid it. We start accountability. We even start coming on Sundays and like, I'm going to be committed. And then we miss multiple Sundays. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve on this team, but we never fully go through with it. We don't. We start things and we don't finish it. And I really believe God is challenging us for us to do the work. If we want the life that God promised us, if we want the life of fulfillment and healing and legacy and peace, we have to pursue it and we have to do the work. My third point that I'm going to talk about is that God wants to help you build. God wants to help you build. You know, I started today by saying we're all building something. We're all building our lives on the daily. We're all making decisions that are becoming a part of our routine, that are becoming a part of our lifestyle, that are becoming a part of our life. And maybe you're sitting here and as you're thinking, you think, I never thought I would be in this place where there'd be this much unforgiveness in me. I never thought I would be in this spot where I just can't stop replaying those negative things that happened. I never thought I would be in this spot where that addiction just gets me. I never thought I'd be here. But again, it starts by our decisions that become a routine, that become a lifestyle, and that become our life. And some of us, like I mentioned earlier, we're building on brokenness. We're building on brokenness. We're building on broken families. We're building on broken memories. We're building on broken promises. And we're trying to move forward. We're trying to build our lives up the way that God intended it to. But it's hard. And just like Nehemiah, we're trying to get up and serve. We're trying to get up and be with God. But that pain is just holding us back. That pain is keeping us from moving forward. I want to go back to the story of David. In 1 Chronicles verse 29, 1 through 5, it says, "Then David, the king, addressed the congregation. My son Solomon was singled out and chosen by God to do this. But he's young and untested, and the work is huge. This is not just a place for people to meet each other, but a house for God to meet us. I've done my best to get everything for the building this house for my God. All the materials necessary, gold, silver, bronze, iron, lumber, precious and very colored stones, and building materials, vast stockpiles. Furthermore, because my heart is in this, in addition to and beyond what I have gathered, I'm turning over my personal fortune of gold and silver for making this place of worship for my God. 3,000 talents, about 113 tons of gold, all from Ophir, the best, and 7,000 talents, 214 tons of silver for covering the walls of the buildings, and for the gold and silver work by the craftsmen and artisans. And now, how about you? Who among you is ready and willing to join in the giving?" I started earlier by saying David represented a type of Christ, about prophetically the things that Jesus was going to do. And David's son Solomon is getting ready to build the temple, is getting ready to build the house of God. And as he's preparing, and David is giving Solomon basically kingmanship and saying, "You're going to take over. But before you take over, I have all of these tools for you. I have all of these items. I have gold. I have money. You're going to be able to build it." But this is what he tells Solomon: "Not only do I have stockpiles of gold and stockpiles of jewels and all the equipment, but on top of that, I'm also giving my own personal fortune of gold and silver." And this is what I believe Jesus is telling us today. Because again, David represents a type of Jesus. Jesus is looking at us and saying, "Not only haven't I given you tools, not only have I given you friends and family and a church and therapy and different tools and different books so that you could elevate your life, but I gave myself." Jesus is saying, "I died on the cross. I've given you everything, but I love you so much, son. I love you so much, daughter. I died on the cross to give you forgiveness. I died on the cross to give you hope. I died on the cross so that that family curse would get out of your family through you. I died on that cross so addiction would be broken. I died on the cross so you could experience freedom." And Jesus is telling you, "I've given you everything. I'm giving you everything. But what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I've given you freedom. I've given you healing. They're with me," Jesus is saying. "But what are you going to do with it?" God wants to help you build. God wants to help you build. You don't have to build alone. You don't have to keep trying and trying to build this life, and it just feels like you keep repeating patterns and cycles. God wants to help you build. God doesn't want you to stay stuck in pain and addictions and heartbreak and trauma and reliving things. Jesus died to give you a better life. Jesus died to heal you. And right now I'm going to ask everyone to go ahead and stand up. I'm going to ask you guys just to go ahead and close your eyes. And I want you to envision not only the king saying, "What do you want?" But I want you to envision Jesus saying, "I want to help you build. I know you've been trying, and I want to help you build. I know you've been trying to stop repeating cycles. I know that you're trying to build a new life, but there's brokenness. And maybe you're building on brokenness, broken dreams, a broken past, a grief, trauma, and you're trying to build, Jesus is saying, I'm going to help you. Jesus is saying, I've given you therapy, I've given you classes, I've given you all these things, but I've given my life so that you can have a better life. And right now, before we end, if there's anybody in here, maybe as I've read today and I've spoken today, you say, I've been building my life on the sand, or I've been building my life on brokenness. I've been building my life on pain, and I'm trying to get free from it, but I just feel stuck in this cycle of pain. I feel stuck in this cycle, and I want to get free, and I want to build differently. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? We'd love to pray for you. Amen. I see those hands raised up. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you if you can go ahead and come right here to the left. We'd love to pray for you. Right here to the left. Amen. And as they're walking up here, I have a word for another group of people. Maybe you're in this place and you've been serving God for years and you've been building and you've been coming to church and you've been accountable and you've been doing the work, but you're just tired. You're just tired. I hear God saying, I want to help you build. You don't have to build on your own. You don't have to build on past mistakes, but I want to help you build. With all eyes closed right now, if that's you, if you're saying, I need strength to keep building, if there's anybody in here, amen, amen. Well, right now, we're going to get ready to pray over those that have walked up here. We're going to get ready to close service. So at this time, we are going to end, and I'm going to ask if the worship team can come up here, just the music can get played. But for those that are up here, we're going to pray the leadership team. And thank you guys so much for those that have came. We love you guys, and we will see you guys next Sunday.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.